Going to talk with former police superintendent Phil Klein now. He's on the line calling into the show. Thank you, sir, for doing that. It's a rough day for the police. It's a rough day for the entire city of Chicago.
And thank you for inviting me on, but you're absolutely right. You hit it on the head. It's not just the police family that's affected by this, but every Chicagoan. Mm-hmm. They should realize there was two heroes out there trying to make the city safer, and one lost their life and one's fighting for their life.
Can you put in perspective how you feel, Phil, after so many years of law and being on the force, of what it is you're seeing on the streets right now and how police officers are feeling about that?
Well, I mean, the police have been demonized by the media in the last year and a half, and yet the cops go out there every day and try and make the streets safer. I mean, here they are trying to take a gun off the street, and it's turned on them, and we lost one young police officer, and we have another officer in the hospital fighting for his life. So it makes you think.
Yeah, it does make you think. And I mentioned something earlier. I want to see what you have to say about it. I feel like what I've learned so much so far about Officer Ella French from her brother, who's been very outspoken about this woman who joined the force to be part of the solution, that she wanted to do right by people and do right by the badge and serve with integrity, that she seems like the kind of person that we need more of, and that I wonder about recruitment efforts in light of events like this, in light of the what you're talking about, sort of the sentiment about police officers, and that's out there. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, they're going to have to worry about recruiting more police officers, because police officers' spouses are going to discourage them from taking this job when they see something like this happen. So it has an effect far beyond what happened that day.
And you're seeing a lot of officers retire. You're seeing them retire faster than they can replace them. It's no secret there aren't as many people entering the academy as we see people retiring, and that the discussions I'm hearing amongst rank and file and others on the force, that as soon as they reach a certain year mile marker, that they're like, well, look, I'm gonna leave. How do you reverse this? How do you make this better?
First of all, you have to have the right training and the right contract packages to attract people. A lot of people go to the private sector because there's more money there and better conditions. The cops here have been working 12-hour days with no days off for months, and that has an effect, too. I mean, it affects your personal life, affects your family life. So they have to find a way to get around that. And it used to be because this was a great job that you were proud to be a Chicago police officer, but the way, like you said, things have been the last year and a half is the police are demonized left and right.
Yeah. We've had a pandemic. There are a lot of things that are very unusual that have happened totally out of the norms. We understand that. And yet the violence problem has continued to go up. And I wonder how much it is linked to that, how much of it will come down on its own. How much is the crime fighting tactics we're utilizing right now, Phil? I don't know what it is you're seeing as you look out and see the landscape of this violent crime increase. What is it you think should be done, or how do you view what we're doing?
Well, I mean, I've heard the superintendent many times talk about how people that should be locked up in jail awaiting trial are out on the street. How many people that have been charged with murder are out on home monitoring? I mean, that's just ridiculous. I'll give you an example. When I was superintendent, we had 12,000 prisoners in the county jail. Today, they have 4,000. And a lot of politicians are heralding that as saying that's a good thing. I think it's a bad thing. I used to always say, if you lock up a burglar and keep him in jail, you're going to save yourself 365 burglaries over the next year, because he's going to commit a burglary a day. Well, it's the same thing with the violent crime. These young kids go out there, commit a violent crime, get arrested, and then they're turned over to their parents the next day, and they're back on the street. There's no fear factor. So the fellow gang members see that and figure, well, there's nothing to lose. I'll be back on the street tomorrow.
We've had former police superintendent Eddie Johnson on the show, and he called that the certainty of consequence, that we don't have that. If you commit a carjacking and hold a gun to somebody's head, you might not serve any sort of penalty. It might sort of not, it isn't the kind of thing that you necessarily will have a certainty that there'll be some sort of consequence, was his point. And that word gets out, and it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It sounds like you might agree.
I do agree, and I think that that's something that police can't do. That's got to be the courts and the state's attorney's office have to do something with that. They have to get some accountability for that.
I noticed on, I want to ask you about the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. I know you're president. You've been president for a long time. One of the campaigns you have, Phil, is the Saved by the Vest campaign. I saw on your website, there's a video there where you show officers who've been shot in the vest, and they look like they were back-to-back officers. There was sort of a montage, and they looked pretty recent, all of them. That's something else that the police superintendent spoke to, how many police officers are getting shot at and shot on the job.
I believe the number is 38 police officers have been shot at this year. That's unbelievable. I mean, we never kept stats like that because we never got numbers like that. So, I mean, I'm glad they're keeping the numbers like that. But there again, we got to put people in jail that are out there with guns.
Mm-hmm. Phil, what would you say? I know that the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation raises money for vests for officers because it's their responsibility. After 5 years, you have to pay for your own, is my understanding, and they wear out. Or how does that go, and how can people help if they would like to assist in that?
Well, when you come into the academy, you get a vest. But that's it. That's the last time the city buys you a vest. So the vest lasts about 5 years, like you mentioned. And if they're shot, if they absorb a bullet, they're no good right then and there, and they have to be replaced. And they cost a minimum of $500. Well, a lot of cops got to get brakes for the car and braces for their kids, and they put off getting that vest. And we've had vests that have been over 10 years old that have been replaced. But thanks to the good citizens of Chicago, we were able to buy 11,000 vests now. So almost every officer has a new vest. And if they want to help us with that, they just go to cpdmemorial.org and Get Behind the Vest is the campaign.
CPD.
But I also want to talk about what we're doing in this latest case. First of all, our condolences and our prayers and support for the families of both Officer French and her partner, who's unnamed right now, is something that we're in business for. We're there to help the families get through this. Mm-hmm. And part of the Memorial Foundation is the Gold Star families, and those are family members who lost a police officer in the line of duty. And they meet and talk to them and let them know, you know, what they had to go through and how they got through it. So we're going to get through this one. Like I said, the police department's a big family, so we'll close ranks and support this family and make sure they get them. But we appreciate all the help from the citizens of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. I know you will. Thank you, Phil, for joining us, and thanks for all the work you do over at the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. cpdmemorial.com is how you can help.
.org,
I'm sorry, cpdmemorial.org. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Adam.
Appreciate your time. Sergeant Pete is joining the show now, 38 years a Chicago police officer. And Sergeant Pete, I know that this is a tough day for those on the force. It's a tough day, as I said, for the city when you have one officer killed, one clinging to life after what happened. I just, it's a sad day indeed.
Yeah, it's horrible. This is a poster girl for police departments everywhere. Dedicated, young, all full of life, and it ends so tragically.
Hmm. You know, I said before that I feel as if she could be on the poster for recruitment efforts to try to get more young people to want to choose to be a Chicago police officer, want to do the right thing, want to be part of the solution in this town. And it's not an easy job on any day, but she seemed to be the kind of person, according to her brother and the powerful stories he told about her, that joined the force for all the right reasons. She wasn't about power or anything like that. She was about trying to do the right thing and trying to uphold the law. And sadly, that's how she lost her life, just kind of going about her business. She was part of this task force, and I want to ask you about it. It's called the Community Safety Team, created last year. This is under Superintendent Brown. This is part of his crime-fighting directives. The unit was intended, according to the coverage of it, to help forge stronger community ties on the South and West Side. Started with 450 officers. What can you tell us about this, Sergeant Pete?
Well, it started, you know, because people didn't want to volunteer for it. So it started as reverse seniority, where they took the younger officers and put them in this unit, which I don't think is a good idea because they don't have the mentoring and they don't have the time. But also there's policemen with 2 and 3 years on the job that are better policemen than people with 10 years on the job. So it's, you know, a little bit of something and a little bit of another. I got one, I've got so many messages and emails over this. One guy sent me that his partner in CST was 2 weeks off of probation, which I think is ridiculous. It used to be you needed 3 or 4 years before you went on a tactical team. Now they're just, they're so short that they just want, they'll use reverse seniority to get them that way. But the problem with these units like CST and Summer Mobile is they're taking policemen from the districts and putting them in these units. And then they won't admit it. They're saying, well, we need this many traffic stops. So we need so many ISP cars. We need so many stops. And we need so many, like, contact cards is what we used to call them, filled out. And on the day of this young lady being shot, her chief, her deputy chief, told all the supervisors that I want more traffic stops. And that was from a CompStat meeting on Thursday where Superintendent Brown said in front of his command staff that I want more traffic stops, but I don't want you to use numbers so it seems like we have a quota. So they want these stops to increase, and I've said all along that street stops are an important an important weapon for to be used by the police department, you know, make traffic stops, make street stops, do things, be aggressive, and stop these kinds of things that are, you know, 20 killed, 70 shot every weekend is getting out of line. But for some reason, they didn't want to do that, and now they're actually trying to force these young officers to make these stops, which is causing a problem, or fortunately might have contributed to the death of this young officer who, by all standards, was a tremendous police officer and a hard worker who would volunteer to do anything. And now she's passed on, and her partner is in serious shape in the hospital. And this was all from a traffic stop. And I have the blow-by-blow descriptions of this traffic stop and how it happened, how these people got caught. It's absolutely horrible. I don't think it's something you want to delve into today.
Maybe not.
What's going on?
Maybe not. I think today is a day to remember her. I know her brother said she joined the department because she wanted to do good for the world. This is his words. She always wanted to make a difference, however it was possible. I was never surprised when she said to me she was going to be a sheriff and then a cop. It just made sense. She's the one who lost her life. I just backed very quickly to you saying that they were asking them to make more traffic stops. But isn't that part of the whole idea right now, that we're supposed to be taking more guns off the streets? And in order to do that, don't you do more traffic stops? Is that part of that overall vision?
Well, you're fighting a consent decree. And somebody sent me a thing today, which was brilliant, when you've got 11 groups watching what the police officers are doing, but you don't have gang intelligence and you don't have gang crimes. You have nobody in these gang units that were a big part of the department when I was on to identify gangs and trouble spots and what gang is where and who's leading what and who's in what gang. We don't have that anymore. And other people, some lieutenants have sent me, you know, disband these CST units, disband the Summer Mobile, put the policemen back in the districts so the districts aren't short. And we talked about this where you cannot possibly survive as a police department when people are calling for help on the south and west sides and there are no cars available. In the city, we call it a wrap. And in my day, you never let your district get in a wrap. And now it's commonplace to have a shortage of cars to respond to calls. And I'm not talking about a cat in a tear, you know, somebody drunk on a car. I'm talking about murder, robbery, rape. when you don't have cars to respond to that, there's a serious problem. And when you've got 400 policemen retiring and you've got 80 policemen replacing them, there's something wrong. And when this contract is signed, it's going to be a mass exodus.
That's what I've heard, that's not going to be a great day. Well, it isn't a great day, as for sure. And my condolences to the family. I know you feel the same way, Sergeant Pete. Thanks for always bringing us your perspective.
You're welcome. And it's, you know, I'm sorry that it's on a day like this.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Thank you. Appreciate you.